Yep. So we left off, we were talking about the question about cutting hair and nails in Shabbos. Is that potentially considered to be a nisut deraisa or not? At first glance, it sounds like it should be a real bona fide nisut deraisa from Lachas Gozes. The question is that really true? The mitigating factor that maybe we can somehow knock down the issue of cutting hair and cutting nails, so nisut derabanan. And why would we be interested in doing that? We started to talk about it in the last year, yes, a little while ago, about the question of a woman who forgot to cut her nails before she went to the mikvah. Now it's a Friday night. She comes to the mikvah and she wants to get her nails cut because the minigas are supposed to get her nails cut for a variety of reasons. The minigas tell us that women do usually cut their nails before they go to the mikvah. So the question is, what options are available for this woman who is not cutting nails beforehand? So much of the discussion revolves around the question whether we're dealing with the deraisa or we're dealing with the derabanan. So if we're dealing with the Nisa Derabana, then we can begin to negotiate, we can discuss. So talk about a device, it can become much more difficult. And the Taz in Yerodea and Chasnida raises this question, and the Taz attempts to find the Kula, and then he tells that he fails in trying to find the Kula. He actually concludes Lahachma. We'll see. Others disagree. Let's go through the line of reasoning in the Taz. The Taz suggests that maybe we could have permitted this based on the following. We have a rule in terms of Hilchos Amir Liakum that sometimes we permit certain types of Amir Liakum under very extenuating circumstances. The basic klal is, it's called the Shvus to Shvus to Macho Mitzvah. We spoke about this many times, that if the Isser involved itself is only a Derabanan, even if I would do it with myself, it would only be a Derabanan. And I'm not doing it myself. I'm asking a guy to do it on my behalf. So that's a Derabanan, not a Derabanan, or some kind of a Macho Mitzvah, a great Torah, that would be permissible. Even though we discussed this in the past, we pointed out not all the Rishonim put into this, but at least we pass in this way. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. One opinion, that's the way that generally we assume halacha. So if we can somehow knock it down for the Rabbanan, we're going to be home free. So the Taz said, you can't knock it down for the Rabbanan. So basically, told them, whatever you want to call it, but it's an Issa Deraisa. So that would be tantamount to asking a God to do a Deraisa field, so that we are not going to permit the Mocha Mitzvah. There is one lone sheep in Rishonim, Bala Itter, who maintains that you can violate a merely Yaakov even on a deraisa from Mocha Mitzvah, but we don't really accept that view. So the Taz says that there's no way to knock it down to a derabanan, so you're left with a deraisa, and to ask the guy to do it would be a merely Yaakov on a deraisa, and forget it, not an option. What should the woman do? So now we just told her that she obviously can't cut the nails herself. Can't get a guy to cut the nails, what should she do? So the Taz says she can still go to the mitzvah, because the whole cutting of the nails is only a minute anyway. It's just a chumra to make sure that the nails are clean. So she should clean the nails very well. The Taz says that. The Taz paskin, she should just check the nails, clean the nails, and try to go to the mikvah with the long nails and forget about it. It's not, there's no heter to violate a mil yachim because we're dealing with a mil yachim on a direct. So the Shach takes issue with this Taz. The Shach is a reason. Shach says no. The Shach says that we're not dealing with the direct here anyway. It's only Nisa Derabanan. Why is it only Nisa Derabanan? So he quotes the Taisus that we spoke about in the previous year with Taisus writes that it's true that the Mishnah does speak about cutting nails and cutting hair being a deraisa. Taisus claims that only according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Malacha Shenatzich Legufa is Chai. But the Halacha that we accept, if you're Rabbi Shimon, we accept that opinion of Rabbi Shimon that, let's say, if a person carries something outside that he doesn't really want, he's trying to remove it rather than to use it. So Rabbi Shimon said that's part of Malach Shetzich Legufa. So he says, right, cutting hair and nails is also Malach Shetzich Legufa. I don't want the nails, I want the hair. So it's only a Derabanan anyway. So now that it's a Derabanan, says the Shach, now we're in business. Because even if I would cut my nails myself, it would at worst be a Derabanan. I'm not cutting it myself, I'm asking the Goy to cut it for me. So my asking the Goy to cut the nails for me, the Mocha Mitzvah, the big Mocha Mitzvah, Shetzich Legufa, says the Shach, that was in Mutter. So whereas the Taz was looking at the cutting of the hair and the nails as being a deraisa, therefore says, oh, so she can't be Mutter, I'm really asking about anything, any deraisa, under any circumstances. The Shach was willing to quote the Taz that cutting the hair and the nails, since it's ain't a tzitzit, it's only a derabana, and a derabana, and a derabana, and a derabana, so we can negotiate. So comes to Be'aloch, the Mishnah Berurah, and says, wait a second. He says, this assumption of the Shach, so we're not dealing with the deraisa, that's highly questionable. This is a few other. We spoke about the Arichos in the previous Shiurim, that not everybody agreed to this Taisus. Taisus said,
explicitly that cutting hair and nails is derabanan for us. We're not using the hair, not using the nails. It's only derabanan. There's no derais on the charts. But we quoted the previous shiurim from the Rivash. The Shas Jewish Rivash. The Rivash writes that cutting hair and cutting nails, even if you're not interested in using it, is still deraisa. So that's the way they cut in the Mishkan. Remember, we spoke about how the Rivash tells us historically there were two types of grazes in the Mishkan. There was grazes removing the wool in order to dye the wool to make the tchelas, the argument of Hashem, make different colored wool. And then there was a second kind of cutting that was done in the Mishkan that was to beautify the animal skin in order to use the elim, the oros elim, whatever. So we had to remove the wool, remove the hair off the tchashim in order to use the tchashim for it. They should look pretty. So come the Rivashim says that if you cut your hair, cut your nails in order to beautify yourself, that's also the araisa. So now comes the Be'aloch and says, now we're back in trouble because we want to rely, Shach is relying on Taisus that cutting hair and nails is it worse than the Rabbanon. So if it's only the Rabbanon, big deal, I mean, Yaakov and the Rabbanon, but Mitzvah is going to be great. Not so simple. Of course, the Rivashim is the araisa. It wasn't just alone she did the Rivash. We pointed out last year that the Shulchan Aruch paskens that way. That's the simple pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes that cutting hair and nails is a deraisa. It's unlikely that it meant you need the hair and nails, and it's unlikely that he paskens also has a group of chaya. So the most correct pshat within the Shulchan Aruch that the Be'al Lach thinks is true is that we pass like this Rivash. So that puts us back into trouble. So we started off by saying, let's knock cutting hair and nails down for the Rabbanon. That's the goal of this one shit. We knock it down for the Rabbanon, then we're going to let it go do it, and let the woman go to the Mechashon. So we said, what do you mean it's a Rabbanon? So the Shach says, no, it's only the Rabbanon because of Moach Shetzich L'Gufa. What do you mean it's Moach Shetzich L'Gufa? We just got finished ourselves saying last week, that whenever you've been doing it to beautify yourself, it becomes a Deraisa. Come to Be'aloch and says, no. Come to Be'aloch and says, this is the one exception to the exception to the rule. It means when the woman cuts her nails to go to the mikvah, you cannot say she's cutting the nails to beautify herself. She doesn't. She'd much rather not cut them. She's got long nails. She wants to keep the long nails. The mikvah lady tells you, you've got to cut the nails. Halacha says, Halacha says you have to cut your nails before you go to the mikvah. Cutting of the nails to beautify the nails, quite possible, is a deraisa. But cutting the nails to get rid of them because you don't want to have a chatitza problem, that's not even a deraisa. So it comes out that even if we possibly like the reverse, that cutting nails 99% of the time would be a deraisa, after you cut your nails to make your fingers look nice, if you cut your nails to get rid of the nails so that it makes it properly, that's for sure the Rabbanon. Even according to the Rivash, even according to the Shulchan Aruch, that's the Rabbanon. So we're back in business with the Be'al Lach. We have to see the progression. Taz looked at cutting nails and says it's deraisa. Nothing to negotiate. The Shach says, no, that's only the Rabbanon. Moshe Yitzchak L'Gufa. So we asked the Kasha, what do you mean? But the Rivash. So the Be'al Lach said, no, even according to the Rivash, it's only the Rabbanon. This is the one case. We locked out. You hit the jackpot. The one case under the sun, the cutting nails is a derabanan, the one case where we needed to be derabanan. So therefore the Shach says, we have a right to be makil, that have the goy cut the nails, we don't have to be concerned. We can just assume it's a derabanan and finish. Then at the very end, you know, the Shach has a whole long arichas to refute the Taz. At the very end, the Shach backpedals a little bit nervous. He says, you know, I'm not 100% sure that cutting nails is a derabanan. The whole kula is predicated on the assumption that cutting nails is a derabanan. You know, one could argue maybe Malach Shetzich Lub is chayav. The Rambam sheet, maybe some pasuk like the Rambam. So you know, we get a little bit head, a little hemming and hawing. Maybe we're not so convinced that we should be mocked at cutting the nails just like that. Can we possibly do something to create an outright derabanan? A way for us to create cutting the nails to go to the mikvah as a derabanan, the least shum suffix in all circumstances. Shach said, maybe we can invoke another principle of Chashav's Okil Yachayad. If we do things in an abnormal fashion, that's for sure the Rabban. That's not even Shach, that's the Zichad Rabban. Come to Shach and says, maybe we should tell as follows. Well, we asked the non-Jew to cut the woman's nails. Obviously, we ask a non-Jewish woman to cut the woman's nails. We're going to ask a non-Jewish woman to cut the nails. We're going to ask her to do it in the following way. Maybe do it for us, Kil Yachayad. If you do it in an abnormal manner, then it's for sure the Rabbanan. If it's for sure the Rabbanan, so then it's a shvus b'chol mitzvah, then we're home free. So the Shach is saying this as a chumra now, because he really holds cutting nails as the Rabbanan altogether. So mikra that he holds, you can ask the non-Jewish woman to take a nail clip and take a scissors, cut it, mamish kenar. But yes, it's ace, maybe we should ask her if she can to do a kiliachayad. Now what exactly would that mean? How would you know when you cut nails kiliachayad? The Shach says this with all seriousness, but obviously nobody today is going to invoke this. The Shach says, maybe we should ask the Goyish woman who's going to cut the Jewish woman's nails, maybe she should bite her nails. Tell Mary to cut Rachel's nails, not using a nail clip, by biting the nails. That'll for sure be at the Rabbanah, and that'll be a sure she has Bechel Mitzvah. So the Shach says, just in case that doesn't work, you can go back to what I said originally. You can have Mary use the nail clip. I don't think any Mikvot today avail themselves of the other option. I don't think anybody, for many multiple reasons, would go the other route. So we're gonna ignore those last three, four lines of the Shach back, but his main theme was that to have Mary cut Rachel's nails with a nail clip from scissors at the Gomor, because the Shvistish is Bechel Mitzvah. So the first machlek is a Taz Mashach revolved mostly around a Malachas Gozer's issue, namely is a Deraisa, Derabon, Machlek, Sufa, Taz, we watched the whole story. But then, in this Taz Mashach, there's a second machlek, there's a second major point that they argue about, which now is going to become critical not just for cutting nails, we're going to touch on many, many aspects of the Shabbos. That's the second objection that the Taz raises on it. Chaz, for a minute, the Taz was the biggest machlek in the Shabbos. Taz, there's no way to invoke going doing it, it's Amir Yaakov, it's finished disaster. Then the Taz says, not only is it Asur, but it may be even more often than I thought it was. Up until now, all the Taz was saying was that it's Asur and the Rabban. I mean, the Rabban, not minimizing the Rabban, the Rabban, the Rabban. Comes to Taz and says, he thinks that maybe he can argue, what if I ask the Goy to cut my nails for me with a nail clipper? Maybe it's a Deraisa. Deraisa, I'm doing anything. I'm sitting with my nails, fingers out, forward, and the Goy's cutting my nails. What could possibly be the Deraisa here? There are one is cool and really happy. One is Asher, but anyway, those are the Asher. He said their Isa. Seems a little bit of a stretch. What's a their Isa? The Tazna tells a their Isa. The Gemara at the end of the Sech Machos. The Gemara is talking about the Isser of getting the payas cut. There's an Isser in a Torah for a person to get the payas removed. The question is the Rishonim, what does that mean? Does it mean only you shave them down to the bottom? Does it mean partial cutting? Does it mean you remove the entire pad? Part of the pad? A lot of different shittas in the Rishonim. That's why most of us do get our payas trimmed a little bit. So we assume that for a variety of reasons, that's not what the Torah prohibited. But whatever, a person would take, say the worst case, they would take, I'm sure, a razor and go take literally a cut off of the entire payah. So that would for sure be an issue there, right? Even with the scissors, that may also be also, that's the question. If you take a razor and you cut your payah off entirely, that's no shayla about that. That would be an outright disturbance. We'll keep a conversation. With my other shayla, what's the din if I go to a barber, and the barber doesn't cut, I don't do it myself. I'm sitting in the barber chair, so I'm getting my payah cut by somebody else. So am I subject to malchus for that? Normally, we'll also keep was allowed to earth chay malchus. But I didn't do the cutting. My hands are sitting in my lap. I'm not actually cutting. I'm getting cut. Is that a problem or not? So the Gemara says that sometimes I could also be chayim malchus. Why? If the mesayeya, if I assist the barber. The barber says, please turn your head this way, turn your head that way, this way. I assist. I maneuver my head in the right proper direction for the face to be cut. So the Gemara says, the mesayeya chayim. That Messiah is considered to be an action, it's considered to be a lav sheyesh b'maisa, I did the action, and I'm going to be chay malchus as well. Comes the time and says, you see from this Gemara, that Messiah is considered to be like, I did it. That if I assist, if I'm positioning my head properly to get my hair cut, that's tantamount to me cutting my hair, so I'm chay malchus for that. So too, if I position my nails properly to get my nails cut, that's tantamount to me cutting my nails, and that would be the araisa. Comes the time and says, just in case you weren't scared off of what I said before, that you can't have the guy cut your nails because it's a derabanan, so you think you have to have derabanan, we'll live there. No, it's a mafshah deraisa. The Michal Shabbos gone, the Michal Shabbos deraisa. It says the Taz, because you are sitting in the barber's chair, you are sitting in the nails bar, you're getting your nails cut, getting your hair cut, that's considered to be your maisa. So now the Taz says, it's not only also because of what I said before. What I said before was half the problem. It's not a derabanan. Now it's much more common. Now it's mamash a deraisa because of Messiah. That was the Taz this time. Comes the Shach and responds to that as well. Comes the Shach and says that I don't think that this issue of Messiah is even on the radar screen. Not in the Shach. Nothing to discuss with Messiah. Why not? What happened to Messiah to the Pharisee Gemara? Says the Shach, you only quoted half the Gemara's. There are two Gemara's that talk about Messiah, and you have to talk the other half. What's the other half? There's the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, in Masechet Beitza, comes up a little bit in Shabbos also, but the main this statement appears in the second Berachah of Masechet Beitza, where the Gemara is discussing the following. The Gemara is discussing a person who has some kind of an, or probably an eye on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and he wants to have a guy apply some kind of a treatment to the eye. So the treatment of the eye that the guy is doing is called kochel, whatever it is. So it's normally that would be also for me to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Talmud Gemara says that the person is a cholish she'ein b'sakona, so then you're allowed to do a miliyapa for cholish she'ein b'sakona. We spoke about this many times. Chazal lifted the prohibition in the Rabbanu for miliyapa for a person who's sick. If the person is deathly ill, you can even do their isis, but even if he's not so deathly ill, a little bit ill, not so bad, you can at least do the Rabbanu. So comes the Gemara and says that assuming the person meets the criteria of being a chalish and a sakana, you can ask the guy to apply this ointment or something to his eye. So he asks the Gemara, Kasha, what do you mean? Chalish and a sakana permits the Rabbanim, such as a merely Yaakov. But here, I am participating in the malacha, because I'm maneuvering my eye, I'm opening and closing my eye to enable the guy to do whatever the treatment is. It's not clear what exactly the malacha is, but whatever the nature of the malacha is, it should be a violation of the Sayyaya, and the Sayyaya is tantamount to my doing the malacha. If it's tantamount to the equivalent to my doing the malacha, how can we be mafir based on a miliyakim? How can we be mafir based on cholish imbe sakana? Cholish imbe sakana works to be mafir derabanan. You can never be mafir deraisa for anything short of real cholish yesh be sakana, real pikuch nefesh. So let's try the Gemara. Come to Gemara and says, no, it's not a problem. You know why it's not a problem? Because the Sayyaya ain't no mamish. The fact that I am just maneuvering my eye, I'm opening and closing my eye at the direction of the Goyish eye doctor, Gemara says, yeah, that's Gurnish. That's the Sayyaya ain't no mamish. It's not considered to be my mind. So comes the Shach and says, now we have to go back to the drawing board, go back to the Sugyas in the Sayyaya, and ask ourselves, is the Sayyaya called my mindset? Or is the Sayyaya not called my mindset? So here we're getting contradictory messages from Chazal. So we started off a moment ago with the Gemara in Machias that says that the guy sitting in the barbershop and getting his payas cut off is in violation of the Deraisa and it's Chayim Malchus for him because he said Yeshua Mamash. Now we have another Gemara in Beitza that calls the Sayyaya ain't no Mamash. The Sayyaya is nothing, and that's the reason why it's nothing more than just a Derabbanan of a Mil Yaakov. So comes the Shach and says, you can't go here for the Gemara, you can't go here for the Sogat Mitzvah. You have to explain why sometimes this is the Yeshua Mamash, why sometimes the Zema Mamash. What is the answer to that question? Why is it that Mitzvah is Yeshua Mamash, Eidah Mamash? So we have a Stira Gemara in the Gemaras. So we have to stop the Sugya of cutting nails for a minute and understand the answer to the Stira. So again, we have one Gemara in Maseches Makos that says, the guy sitting in the barbershop getting his payas shaved is Chayav Malchus. So that tells us that Mitzvah is Yeshua Mamash. Then you have another Gemara that says that a guy sitting in the eye doctor and getting his eye cream putting in is the same old mamash. So what's the difference between the barbershop and the eye doctor? That's the basic shadow now. So the Ritva already in Masechet Matos was the first to ask this kasha. Well, Ritva wasn't even the first. He quotes early Rishon as this kasha. What's the answer to this theorem? So whatever the answer to this theorem is going to impact this question in the passage. So the Ritva quotes two possibilities of the answer. One possibility the Ritva quotes is that maybe not all Messiahs are created equal. That there are dargas, there are degrees in Messiahs. Sometimes Messiah is considered to be the equivalent of a Maisa, and sometimes Messiah is not the equivalent of a Maisa. How do you know which is which? So the Ritva begins to try to describe the difference, and I think what the Ritva is saying is something along the following lines. That when it comes to the Messiah of opening and closing your eyes, opening and closing eyes is something that a person does anyway. He does that naturally. A person blinks, he opens and closes his eyes, even not in the context of getting eye cream putting in by the eye doctor. Something which is done not in the context of this particular event, that's called the Messiah She'en Agama. That's called not a complete Messiah. That's a nothing. Something that I would be doing anyway. I would naturally be opening and closing my eyes. It just happens to me. I'm doing it in the direction of the eye doctor. So that kind of Messiah is called Messiah Eindo Mamish. However, what if I do what's called Messiah Agama? What's Messiah Agama? A guy gets his haircut. Most people don't walk around moving their heads in all directions. You walk around. You walk straight. You walk normal. The only time you start to tilt your head and move your head and put yourself in directions is when you're sitting in the barbershop. So that kind of misayaya, which is a direct result of the action of the aveira of cutting my face, being done, that type of misayaya is considered to be misayaya yesh from amish. That's what the result says. That's the end of the receiver. That you want to know whether Messiah is called Yesh B'mamish, whether it's called a Maisa. You say, Ein B'mamish, it's not a Maisa. Yesh V'yesh depends on the degree of Messiah. Some Messiah is called a Maisa, other Messiah is not called a Maisa. That's the one answer to the choices. But then there's what's called the second answer, the name of the Ramah, with the not the Ramah, but the Ramah, the Rishon, the Ramah. The Ramah says, not a question of what degree of Nisayah you're doing. It depends on what area of halacha you're in. Not that all Nisayahs are not the same. According to the Ramah, all Nisayahs are the same. It's just that all areas of halacha are not the same. There's a difference in halacha between Hilchos Shabbos and Yom Tov halachas, in contrast to Hilchos haircuts, Hilchos cutting payas. What's the difference? Says the Ramah, the difference is very simple. The Ramah says in Matos that there is no question that if a person gets his payas cut from somebody else, that he's over Nisayah Ra'is. That was never on the negotiating table. We never even raised a question about that issue. Of course, if a person gets his payas cut, he's over Nisayah Ra'is. How do you know that? Because the Torah says, B'loshin Rab, lo sekifu bas roshon, sekifu b'loshin Rabim. So the Torah is speaking to the Makif and to the Nikov. There's an Nisayah Ra'is to cut the Jew's payas, and there's an Nisayah Ra'is to have your payas cut. So that was never negotiated. Of course, there's an Nisayah Ra'is. The only reason why the Gemara got into trouble with the fact that the person getting the haircut is getting malchus is not that it was not osur. Of course it was osur. The show was osur. The Gemara's question was, even if it's osur, who says you get malchus? You'll get malchus for everything. You only get malchus when it's called the lav sheyesh b'maisa. It's mishkin maisa. It has to be a maisa. Let's say, if you eat chaz, that's called a maisa. You wear shat, that's called a maisa. You do malach and yom, that's called a maisa. The person speaks lashon hara, it's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. There's no action involved. So you're not chayim malchus. So it's over here. When a person is getting his hair cut by somebody else, the Gemara's question was, not that it should be mutter. That wasn't even on the radar screen to say it's mutter. It's also, let's say, keep it question, Rabbim. The Gemara's question was, even though nine, that's also, who says you get malchus? You only get malchus for very, very limited case. It's got to be a lashi yeshua ma'isa. That's what the Gemara was bothered. Hey, wait a second, where's the ma'isa? So to that, the Gemara answered, what do you mean, where's the ma'isa? I'll tell you where the ma'isa is. Mesei yeshua ma'isa. What Mesei yeshua can do, says the Ramah, the Seyyed can take something that's already asur and elevate it to the point of a lav sheyesh b'maisa. But Seyyed cannot create this in the first place. In Hilchos Shabbos, the starting point in Torah is losasika malacha. Don't do malacha. Do we mean doing an action? Picking up your scissors and cutting hair, that's called an action. I'm sitting in the barbershop and sleeping and someone's giving me a haircut and this came nice. That's not a ma'isa of Hilchos Shabbos altogether. You want to invoke Seyyed to tell me that, no, it's really called Hilchos Shabbos. Because it's Messiah, therefore the label is called Shabbos Map. Messiah can't take nothing and make it into an Isser. Messiah can't create Yesh Me'ayin. Messiah can take a pre-existing Isser and elevate it to the highest level of being a Ma'isit to be called Lav Shesh Me'ayin like it. Messiah cannot take a neutral, action, a neutral activity, sitting in the bar, sitting in the eye doctor, having somebody put eye medication on. It's a garnish. Mishkin Asiyah, that's not almost asking Malacha. You want to invoke the say, yeah, I'll then never say in the Mamish. So we had two radically different approaches in the ability of Shainim. What's the difference in the two Gemaras? What's the difference between the high doctor where we invoke the say in the Mamish and the cutting the payas and the barbershop where we say Messiah Yesh Mamish? So one approach is to say that there are different degrees of say, yeah, is Messiah Gomer versus Messiah Shainim Gomer. The other answer is to say, nah, all Messiahs are created equal. It's just that there are different areas of halacha. If there's a pre-existing Isser, then Messiah is going to do the trick to make it a malchus. If there's no pre-existing Isser, Messiah is not going to do anything. So this machlekes, the Gedalia Rishon and Malchus, is clearly the machlekes of Taz and Shach. This is what's playing out in the according to the Taz, who invoked the Gemara Messiah, Yesh B'mamish, who invoked the case of the barbershop, and said, just as the guy in the barbershop is chayav, it called his ma'isa. So to the woman in the mikvah getting her nails cut by the goya, it's called her ma'isa. The Taz is assuming that when you're doing things such as maneuvering your head for a haircut, maneuvering your nails for a manicure, those kinds of activities, not things you usually do. Most people don't walk around showing their nails off to everybody. So that type of maneuvering is called the Seyyed Gomor, and the Seyyed Gomor is considered to be a ma'isa in Kol Tarkula. According to the Taz, like the Ritva said, there's no difference which area of halacha you're in. It doesn't matter whether you're in Hilchos Shabbos or Hilchos Peyos. All that matters is it a Messiah Gomer or is it not a Messiah Gomer? And the answer is, it's a Messiah Gomer. Since you wouldn't normally pick up your hands and put your fingers in the woman's face to cut your nails, that's considered to be a Messiah Gomer. And whenever it's a Messiah Gomer, then you're in trouble. Then you have a deraisa on your hands. Whereas the Shach disagrees, the Shach says, Ma'apidam, the Shach says, we're talking about Hilchos Shabbos, we're not talking about Hilchos Peyos. Only in Hilchos Peyos, where there's a pre-existing is a deraisa of los hakifu los rabim, then only then can we add on make it worse by saying, oh, you're going to be chayim malchus, but it's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. But Rosh Hashanah, where you have nothing to go with, nothing to start with, the starting point is zero, the starting point is Hefet Nafas, not a Maita. All the Messiahs in the world aren't going to cause a problem. So this Machlek is a Taz Meshach, and really an age-old Machlek is to be shown him how to resolve the steer of two commands. How do we pass in the Halacha? So the Minhag Olam seems to be like the Shach. That's what I think Mikvot today, you follow the view of the Shach. They assume that if a woman's having to come Shvara next to cut her nails, so we'll send her to a Goy, we'll bring her to the Mikvah, to cut her nails for her. We assume Halacha is the Shach. So there's a significance of this Shach Shita, which now goes way beyond just the technical issue of the cutting the nails, cutting the hair. And that's a general question to the say in Chol Shabbos. Let's say a person finds themselves in a situation where a goy is doing a malacha to them. They're sitting back and not really doing all that much, but goy is doing something to them. Is that their problem or not? So maybe it's an issue of Mir Yaakov, maybe not really Yaakov is much more lenient, only their Rabbanah. But according to the Taz, if a malacha is being done to me, if it's being done in a manner that I wouldn't normally be doing these kinds of actions, I wouldn't be doing these kinds of assistance, and now I'm being asked to position myself in a certain out of the ordinary way, according to the Taz, that's a deraisa. And according to the Shach, it's not true. So these shilas come up very often in hospitals. If you have a person in the hospital, so most of the time a guy in the hospital is a chol shesh b'sakana, but every once in a while, a guy could be in the hospital, it doesn't be sakana anymore, or it could be that maybe it's a chol, but this particular procedure that they want to do is not life-threatening, not a big urgency. So let's say they want to draw blood from the chol. If the argument takes an hour before Shabbos is over, the guy doesn't have any major emergency going on, between you and me, nothing's going to happen to him if they don't draw the blood right now. So the Goyish nurse walks in and wants to draw the blood from the chayla. So she asks the chayla, please put your arm out, make a fist, starts wrapping up, starts drawing blood. Right? Hold the phone. Who says he's allowed to participate in that drawing of the blood? He said, maybe it's a Shabbat Deraisa. So to draw blood, to use blood, we assume that's an Issa Deraisa. That's a Malacha Tzvichla Gufa. And we generally assume that if a person is drawing blood, to test the blood, that's more like to use it. Make sure it's okay. If you draw the blood to use the blood or to test the blood, we assume that's a deraisa. Malacha Tzvichla Gufa. Now the voice coming and I didn't even ask the guy to do it. Not even really asking that. So it might be much happier if the guy wouldn't draw my blood right now. But the guy is part of their protocol, they have to draw the blood now. I'm a chuyif to make a fuss about it. I'm a chuyif to get the doctor to say, don't draw the blood. No, I can't have the blood drawn. It's not a pekuch nefesh. It would be an issur deraisa. So the chora, this should depend on the Taz Meshach. According to the Taz, anytime I'm doing something out of the ordinary, kind of misayaya, even in the Chol Shabbos, that could be a deraisa. That would be a potential deraisa there also. Because I'm being asked to maneuver my own situation. That they're drawing the blood from me, and they're doing the deraisa. It's not they're doing the deraisa. I'm doing the deraisa according to the Taz, because I'm participating in the deraisa. So that would be a good problem according to the Taz. According to the Shach, it would be not such a serious problem. Because according to the Shach, what am I doing? I'm sitting there. So I'm making a fist. Make a fist. Big deal, make me fist. In the Shach, making a fist is considered to be a malacha. So the Korah, this should be a chapanach kamina ladina. May have other shallot thing, getting other kinds of tests, x-rays, other kinds of things that you have to go take case to case, test by test and see. According to the Taz, you have to start asking yourself every time you're in the hospital, you can't get tested on, is it really Pekuch Nefesh or not? That could become a very questionable practice. I think that the other is not with the Shach. I think we assume that as long as the Goy were doing all the stuff, so it's not really my problem. Whatever the Goy is doing, so I'm not even asking him to do it. At least a Chol Shabbos, if he's not a Chol Shabbos, he doesn't belong in the hospital altogether. But the stomach, according to the Shach, is probably everything is going to be covered by the fact that we're saying they're in Bavanish. So over now, we've been trying to show some of the nice aspects of Gezid. Classic Gezid, the original Gezid in the Mishkan, wasn't relevant for us. We're also on sharing our sheep today. No, those Arvas and Karmel becomes much more relevant to us. There's another aspect of this, a Shaila, removing one's hair, that becomes very, very relevant. That starts out not actually in the Shabbos, it actually starts out in the Sefer Nazir. The Mishnah Masechet Nazir talks about the question about a Nazir combing his hair. Is the Nazir permitted to comb his hair? What's the Shaila? Shaila is that a Nazir is not allowed to remove his hair, not allowed to shave his head, not allowed to cut his hair with scissors. So even if he cuts two hairs, well, that's already Chayv Malchus, and it's a deraisa. So the question is the Nazir permitted to comb his hair on Shabbos? Tuesday, the Nazir permitted to comb his hair. So the Mishnah draws a distinction between different types of practices that a nazir wants to do with his hair. So the Mishnah talks about what if the nazir wants to just rub his hair, he wants to shampoo his hair. What if the nazir just wants to stop playing with his hair a little bit? So would that be a problem or not? So the Mishnah draws a distinction and says, a nazir is chofei from the phosphate of alo seri. The Mishnah says explicitly, a nazir is permitted to rub his hair, he can wash his hair, he can be with phosphate and play with his pants, and play with his hair a little bit, of alo seri, but he's not permitted to comb his hair, to brush his hair. What is that based on? What's that distinction based on? So the Gemara says that's based on the concept in Allah called the Dabar Shem Miskaven. We spoke about this many, many times. If I do action X, and action X may result in an issue being done. Maybe, maybe I have no idea. So that's called the Dabar Shem Miskaven. That's the Chalik Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon reviewed all that to do a Dabar Shem Miskaven is a problem, and Rebbe Shimon holds Dabar Shem Miskaven is mutter. So it's clear for the Gemara that when Rebbe Shimon said that Dabar Shem Miskaven is mutter, he said it not only in Hilchos Shabbos, he said it in Kol Tarkul as well. The classic case of Dav Shem Miskaven in Hilchos Shabbos, we also spoke with many times, is the guy wants to drag the chair on the dirt. So if he wants to drag the chair on the dirt, it's not a particularly heavy chair, and there's no reason to believe with certainty that it's going to make a hole. It maybe will, maybe won't. So the Rabbi Yehuda says he can't do that. Dav Shem Miskaven is off. So Rabbi Shimon said that's multiple chachim. Gur other midik is kisafel, or bavash from Miskaven not chachrit. As long as you're not being mechavi, not intending to make a hole, it's totally what they're according to Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon permits Dabar Shem Miskaven in Shabbos for sure. And then the Mishnah Nazir says that he permits it in Kol Terkul also. But that's just the Kula in Shabbos, not just Machadach Shabbos, he permits it in Kol Terkula. And one of the examples of Dabar Shem Miskaven in Kol Terkula is a Nazir. That a Nazir is permitted to play with his hair, even though there's a chance that some of the hair may fall out. He's permitted to wash his hair, scrub his hair, take shampoo his hair, even though there's a chance that some of the hair may fall out, that's still okay, because it's a Dabar Shem Miskaven. Even if it turns out that some of the hair fall out, not his problem. In contrast to this Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon is the author of this Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda would say it's also, according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, he would not be permitted to play with his hair, would not be permitted to rub his hair, not permitted to wash his hair. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, we have to be concerned, even with the Dabar Shem Miskaven being problematic. We don't possibly read, we possibly Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, the Mishnah Nazir is true. That it's mutter for the nazir to be chayiv from a fast face. But then the Mishnah puts the brakes on. The Mishnah says, "Avalo seireg," but the nazir is not permitted to comb his hair. The question is, why not? What happened? What's the difference? We just got finished saying the nazir could play with his hair, he could wash his hair, he could scrub his hair, shampoo, he could do everything. He can't comb his hair. My eye, why is combing hair also? So the simple reason of the Gemara is, the reason why combing hair is also is, because we can no longer call that a Dabar Shem Miskaven. Why can we no longer high by a Dabar Shem Miskaven? So the Gemara says, because it's not true, because the person is Mechaven. So the goal of a person when you come here is to get one of the goals. One of the goals is true. Someone comes here and we'll talk about that. Those who have hair to come. So the person comes to his hair for, wants to make it feel nice, but he also wants to get rid of some of the old hair, some of the hair that are almost out anyway. So he's Mechaven to remove those hairs. So comes the Gemara and says, when the nazir washes his hair, when he plays with his payas, so it's not a shame it's kaven. But when he combs and brushes his hair, is miskaven hafes in nimin hamudon? Is it mine?
Just ask.
What?
Yes, when you're supposed to do.
So the kavan of the person is mamish to remove the hair. So you can't lie about the miskaven, it's mechaven mamish. So the simple reading of the Gemara Nazir is that the difference between why is it sometimes mutter and why is it sometimes osur is that it's mutter when it's a Dabar Shem Miskaven, but it's osur when it's a Dabar Mechaven. So coming here, it's considered to be a Dabar Mechaven, and it's also to be a Nazir to do. So the Gemara seems pretty straightforward. That's the difference. Dabar Shem Miskaven is mutter, Dabar Mechaven is osur. That's not a great chiddush. So Rashi in Shabbos, when he refers to the sugya, the Rashi adds something that doesn't seem to say in the Gemara. Rashi says the reason why you're not allowed to comb your hair, why the nazir is not allowed to comb your hair, is because you can't hide behind Dabar Shem Miskaven, because it's a psikresha. Psikresha, a whole new ballgame. Psikresha means, we've said that also many times, psikresha means when you do something that true, I don't know for certain that's going to happen, but I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. I mean, it's not a 50-50 chance. It's either literally 100% sure, or even what we call a cause of secretia, it's most likely going to happen. That's already no longer covered by the head of Dabar Shem Miskaven. That's called So comes the Rashi and says, the reason why the Nazir, although it's mutter for the Nazir to wash his hair, he can play with his payas, but he can't comb his hair. Because when he combs his hair, then it's in violation of the principle of secretia. And Nazir Shem Secretia Yamos. Like it's the classic situation is the guy can't cut a chicken's head off and say, I just want to play with the head. I wasn't intending to kill the chicken. That's absurd. You cut off the head, obviously the chicken's going to die. So all the Echrem of the is Rashi. Why is Rashi jumping into the Sugya Segresha? Why did Rashi just quote the Gemara? Gemara says the same issue. The second Gemara says, why it's also. The Gemara says, that's the Gemara of Mechavim Mabish. It happened Rashi here on the Dom Shtukul. Rashi's getting on a different reason. Rashi's saying it's also not the Segresha. What happened to the Gemara of Mechavim Mabish? That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara quotes the Gemara of Mechavim Mabish. So what's going on? So hopefully the next year, whether live or on phone, depending on when the next year takes place, so we will try to understand what's Jan Rashi. The Gemara knows it says one Mahalach, and Rashi is saying another Mahalach. What is added by Rashi? And this is the potential. In fact, we're not going to pass too many Nazir Shabbos today, but the same sugya of the Nazir coming is here is going to impact on the issue of coming here in Shabbos. So that's the Shema. Tomorrow we'll try to continue that.
Henry, are you there?
Yeah.
Shira, I assume, should be tomorrow, B'nai Shira.
I guess we'll be in Shira tomorrow, unless there's
any issues.
And regular time?
I assume regular time, right?
Yeah, it's really not so bad. A couple inches, though. It's already cleaned up.
Okay, so tentatively we're out to 6:20 tomorrow, unless we enter the contrary, okay?
Okay.
Minyan's supposed to be in the half an hour, but I have to do the stairs over there. Nobody else does it. They just, the young people, they just. What?
Okay.